Dr. Christian's office. Yes, this is... Oh, is this Mary? Well, well, how's the war job? Transferred? Oh, a new department.
The Vaseline Program, presenting a new Dr. Christian Prize play called Excalibur by Amelia Reynolds Long of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, starring Jean Hersholt as Dr. Christian and Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price.
Well, it sounds very interesting. Too bad your hands are so red and sore. But oils and chemicals will do that if you don't protect your hands. How? Well, Mary, it's very simple. Just use Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Before beginning work, coat your hands lightly with Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Yes, here's why. Vaseline Petroleum Jelly helps keep grit from grinding into your skin and safeguards against infection. Besides, it makes grease and dirt lots easier to remove, less apt to irritate. Mm-hmm. Then after you wash up, supplement the natural skin oils washed away with that strong soap by applying Vaseline Petroleum Jelly again. This relieves sting and helps promote quick healing of little cuts and nicks. Well, try it, Mary. Notice how much better your hands feel. Yes, just a 10-cent jar or a handy tube to carry in your pocketbook. Oh, it's nothing, Mary. Call sooner next time. Goodbye.
Tonight we have something different for you in our Dr. Christian Prize play. For the good doctor has decided to knock off from doctoring for a few hours of relaxation from the strain and worry that wartime conditions have piled on his willing but overloaded shoulders. It is a ghost story, and there's not a word of truth in it, so don't write and tell us we didn't warn you. And it begins the way all ghost stories should, in the midst of thunder and lightning and torrents of rain. We find Dr. Christian, Judy Price, and her current soldier beau, Dick Foster, gathered round the cozy open fire in Dr. Christian's private office with nothing better to do than...
Tell a ghost story. Go on, Dr. Christian, please. It's just the night for it.
Oh, don't turn to me. A doctor's life is all realism. You're supposed to bury the old ghost.
That's so. Doctors are not supposed to believe in ghosts, are they?
Well, you can tell a ghost story without believing in ghosts, can't you? Just for the fun of it.
Why, Judy, does a sensible girl like you get a kick out of ghost stories?
Oh, you bet. Goose pimples, shivers, hair crawling in the back of my neck. I love it. Oh, come on now, Doctor. Bring on the ghost.
I bet you have got a story, Doctor. Let's hear it.
Well, I won't guarantee that it's a ghost story. Everything that happened could have had a natural explanation. It happened a number of years ago, long before the war. I was spending a vacation in a little village in the west of England. There were only two other guests at the inn where I was staying, an American archaeologist named Walker and an Englishman named Arbuthnot. One afternoon, we were sitting around the open fire in the inn parlor and discussing old legends. I remember Arbuthnot was saying...
Legends? Yes, this West Country's full of them. King Arthur country, you know. Place near here where he's supposed to have fought his last battle and all that.
And the natives are familiar with the local folklore, I suppose. That sort of thing is in my field. In fact, that's why I've come over to England this summer. To do a little research work among the remains of the early Britons.
Mm-hmm. Interesting subject. Yes, Mr. Walker, you'll find that most of the people about here know the stories. King Arthur's a real character to them. More real than a lot of chaps who are alive today.
You mean they still believe the stories, Mr. Arbuthnot?
Yes, I think they do, Dr. Christian. I gather that they're fully convinced of the truth of the old tales and of Arthur's actual existence.
No, maybe they're partly right at that. They have some evidence on their side.
Well, are you an archaeologist too, Dr. Christian?
I? Heavens, no. I'm just a concert doctor from Riversend, USA. But I've always been interested in these old stories about King Arthur.
Well, then you ought to be interested in the lake, Dr. Christian.
What lake is that, Arbuthnot?
There's a lake in the neighborhood. One end of it touches on Lady Morgan's land. You remember Lady Morgan, of course? Red-haired woman who spoke to me at church last Sunday?
Yes, I remember.
Stunning woman, although a little uncanny looking.
Fay would be a better word, Walker. She comes of an old Celtic line. Her people have been the grand seigneurs in this region since before the Anglo-Saxon invasion, I suppose. But anyway, to get back to the lake, here comes the innkeeper. John, tell Dr. Christian and Mr. Walker about the lake.
The lake, sir? There don't be much to tell except as how it's holding his sword for him till he shall come for it.
Well, holding whose sword, John?
His Majesty's, Dr. Christian. Don't you remember as how he had them throw it into the lake before he went away? Well, yonder's the lake.
How do you know?
How? Can't you see the cairn where the black traitor Mordred fell? And don't some of the superstitious ones still toss a stone over their left shoulders to it at night so the traitor's ghost won't trouble them? Aye, us knows all right.
And this is the 20th century.
I should think that if it's generally believed that the sword is there, someone would have wanted to fetch it up. Hasn't anyone ever tried?
Fetch it up? We daren't.
Well, what do you mean you daren't? Is there a superstition?
Some say there be. They say as how there's a curse comes on them as would get it. Of course, it's only the ignorant talks that way. Still, us daren't get it.
I say, what a ripping yarn. Didn't anyone ever try it?
Not exactly, Mr. Arbuthnot. There were a lad once who said he meant to. He were a groom at the Morgan Stables. But one of the horses kicked out his brains the morning of the day he meant to have his try. That were 20 years ago. Since then, the folk have let it alone. And now, if you'll not be wanting anything else, gentlemen, I'll be leaving you to finish your tea.
Say, he got pretty cagey when we talked about recovering the sword, didn't he? Didn't seem to like the idea.
I say, Walker, you don't actually believe that, Rodner, do you?
Well, Dr. Christian admits that there's evidence for a foundation of fact behind the legend.
Yes, but I was talking about the actual existence of King Arthur himself, not the plausibility of local superstition.
Of course not.
Exactly how genuine, do you suppose, is the fear around here of disturbing whatever is in the lake?
Well, knowing a little something about the people, I should say as genuine as the fear of God. You don't understand, Walker. They believe these stories. They've had them handed down through generations until, well, they look on them as gospel.
Well, perhaps you gentlemen will consider me mad for what I'm about to say. Now, don't misunderstand me. That there's anything to the legend of the sword Excalibur, I'm not fool enough to think for a minute. But I have a growing conviction that something else is down there. Possibly some ancient relics that were held sacred by the early Britons who put them there. Otherwise, why create this taboo to keep the curious away?
Well, sounds possible, theoretically at least. But what are you driving at?
This. I'm going to have a try for whatever's there.
So the bug of romance bites us all. Really, old man, I'd never have thought it.
Romance, nothing. It's only good business. I'm an archaeologist. Think what a find of this kind would mean to me professionally.
You American.
You don't mean that you're actually going to try to get it?
Well, certainly. Why not? If there's anything at the bottom of that lake, I'm going to have it up.
But how?
By Jove. Dr. Christian and I could row you out to the middle of the lake in the boat I use for fishing. Then let you over the side with a rope. Yes, with a rope tied under your armpits. Now, by using the rope as a kind of measuring line, you could save time by not going over the same ground twice. What about it? Shall we do it?
Well, are you willing to start tonight? We'll have to work when we'll be unobserved.
Oh, taken. Now, let's see. We've still got an hour or so before dinner. Well, plenty of time to get down to the lake shore where my boat is tied and throw a coil of line aboard. Well, come along.
And did you go with them, Dr. Christian?
Yes, Judy, I went along.
Whee! I've got butterflies in my stomach already. Weren't you scared?
I'll admit I had a queer sort of uneasiness about the thing Walker was planning to do. The three of us walked down to the edge of the lake, Arbuthnot carrying a coil of strong, thin rope, which he placed carefully under the rear seat of the boat. Then the three of us stood there for a minute in the early fall dusk. As we turned to go back to the inn, a cloud bank which had hidden the western sky split open, and a single shaft of reddish sunlight fell across the lake.
I say, look at that. Makes it appear as though the water was streaked with blood. Now, if I were superstitious...
Now, don't be an old woman, Arbuthnot.
Oh, I'm not. I merely said it.
I hope there'll be a moon tonight.
What's the matter, Dr. Christian? Is Arbuthnot's talk of omens beginning to get you?
Oh, no, of course not. I only meant that we'll be able to see much better if there's a moon and... Good heavens. What's that?
What? Where?
That tall white figure coming toward us across the moor.
Hmm? Oh, it's only Lady Morgan. She always wears white. But I'd admit that in this uncertain light...
You are getting jumpy, Dr. Christian. What did you think it was? The Lady of the Lake?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. Good evening.
Have you been fishing again, Mr. Robertson?
Not this time, Lady Morgan. We've been merely taking a stroll before dinner.
Yes. Lovely time for strolls. One might almost say an enchanting time.
Oh, permit me. Lady Morgan, Mr. Walker, and Dr. Christian are both of the United States.
How do you do?
Is this your first visit to the West Country, gentlemen?
Yes, and we find it extremely interesting.
Yes, especially from the archaeological point of view.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you do. Oh, but I mustn't keep you talking here after sundown. To those who are unaccustomed to our part of the world, the mist from the lake may prove very unhelpful. So I'll bid you good evening again, gentlemen.
Good evening, Lady Morgan. Say, where the deuce did she spring from so suddenly? She was nowhere in sight a minute ago.
Well, she must have cut across the edge of the moor. The cairn there would have hidden her from us.
Ah, she's a devilishly pretty woman. But there's something not quite natural about her, with those green eyes of hers. Something a little unearthly. She gave me the feeling that she knows what we're planning to do tonight.
Doctor, I believe you're actually associating Lady Morgan in your mind with Morgana Le Fay, the legendary Lady of the Lake, who's supposed to guard King Arthur's sword until his return.
Well, maybe I was without realizing it, Mr. Wargo. I'll try not to let my imagination run away with me again.
Gosh, Dr. Christian, this is getting exciting. Did you go back to the lake again that night?
Yes, Dick. We waited until about 11 o'clock. Then we started back to the lake. We reached the boat, and Walker, wearing a coat over his bathing suit, stepped into it. Arbuthnot followed him, and I got in last.
I'll take the oar. All ready?
All ready.
Good Lord. Something jerked us back to the shore.
Oh, wait. We forgot to untie the painter. Now, go ahead.
Right up.
There. This is far enough. Hold her steady now while I get out of this overcoat and lower myself over the side.
Here's the rope. I've tied a bowline in the end for you to slip over your head and under your arms.
Oh, thanks. Lord, this water's cold.
Be careful you don't take cramps, old man.
Oh, I never take cramps, but if I should, I'll jerk on the rope and you can pull me up. Well, here goes.
You know, Dr. Christian, I wish that hadn't happened. About the painter jerking the boat back as we were about to start, I mean. Oh, not that I'm a superstitious Johnny or anything like that, but, well, it makes a chap... Oh, you know what I mean.
Yes, I think I do.
I hope Walker won't stay under too long.
There. He's breaking the surface now.
Find anything, old chap?
No, not yet. Now, this is a little more than a child's game of hide the button. There's a sediment about 6 inches deep down there. But under that, so far as I can judge... solid rock. If there's anything there, I'll get it. It'll take time, that's all.
Want us to row to a new position?
Yes. It's a little to the left.
Left. Right up.
That's far enough. Here goes for the second try.
There he goes for the 12th time.
What do you say, Dr. Christian, that when he comes up, we tell him we're going back?
Yes, I think that's a good idea. He's been in this cold water too long already.
Anything wrong, Walker? Want to go back?
Go back? Nothing. I believe I found it.
You what? Not really.
Yes, I touched something down there. It was wedged between the rocks on the lake bottom. I couldn't get it loose before my breath came out.
felt like the hilt of an ancient two-handed sword, such as the natives of Britain used during the 5th and 6th centuries.
I say, you're joking.
Maybe after all, we'd better not get it. Maybe we'd better leave it where it is.
Doctor, you were born some round dozen centuries too late. Now just keep cool while I go down and have another jerk at that hilt. When I come up, I'll bring it with me.
Dr. Christian, you don't suppose...
Oh, of course not. Any sword thrown into this lake in the 5th century, which is when King Arthur is supposed to have lived, would have rusted away to nothing long ago.
Yes, just the same, I wish we hadn't let him go down again. And for the 13th time, too.
Mr. Harbinet, turn around and look behind you. Tell me whether you see anything.
Where?
Over there near the farther shore, where that clump of trees cast a heavy shadow across the water.
I don't see... Oh, Dave, hold on a minute. There is something over there. A misty white form that seems to rise up out of the water.
Well, we'll see what it is in just a minute. It's about to pass from the shadow into the starlight. There it comes. Oh, it's only a woman in a boat.
Oh, Lady Morgan again. She must be letting the boat drift, which is why we didn't hear the sound of her oars. Oh. But I don't mind admitting she gave me a deuce of a jolt there for a minute.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
It is gay night,
please. Good evening, Lady Morgan. Yes, we meet again.
What's the matter, Mr. Arbuthnot? Has something happened?
Oh, we thought you might be the Lady of the Lake.
Morgana Le Fay. And so I might be, Dr. Christian. But where's your friend, Mr. Walker?
He isn't here.
Your lake is very interesting by moonlight, Lady Morgan. Very weird and picturesque.
Yes, and it's legendary. It was in this lake that King Arthur's sword, Excalibur. Oh, but you've already heard that story, of course.
Yes, we... But what was that?
What was what, Mr. Arbuthnot?
That dull thud just now. And it was as if a shiver passed through your boat. Didn't you notice it?
Boats often behave strangely in these waters. Perhaps it's that the spirit of the lake resents our presence here at this hour. And I think I should obey the warning and go in. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, Mr. Morgan. By Jove, Dr. Christian, I believe you were right this afternoon when you said you felt that you knew what we were planning to do tonight.
But never mind that now. You've got to find out what's become of Walker. Should have come up a long time before this.
By Jove, that's right. I'd forgotten all about him.
It's been down nearly 5 minutes.
Oh, he couldn't have been. His breath would have given out. He must have come up on the other side of the boat while we were talking to Lady Morgan. Had seen her and gone down again. We'd better give a tug on the rope to let him know the coast is clear.
Here, I'll do it.
Do you feel any answering tug?
No, I don't.
Well, you don't suppose he could have taken cramps, do you?
He had. He would have tugged for us to hold him in.
If he slipped out of the noose and swam to shore, we'll take it out of him when we find him.
Let me give the rope another tug.
Do you suppose he actually did find something and tied it fast?
I don't know, but I'm going to pull the rope up and find out.
Here, I'll give you a hand.
No, you better hold the boat steady. I can manage alone. It's coming now. Feels like something pretty heavy. One or two more pulls. There. I can see something just under the surface of the water.
It's breaking through now.
Good Lord.
It's Walker.
Quick. Help me get him into the boat.
Is he dead, Dr. Christian?
I'm afraid so. But not from drowning.
What do you mean?
Look there on the back of his head. What that dull thud we heard while we were talking to Lady Morgan and the little shiver that seemed to pass through her boat? Well, Walker must have come up under the boat just then and struck his head against the metal keel.
And it laid his skull open as neatly
as a blow from an ancient broadsword.
Gosh, what a story.
But is that all, Dr. Dixon? Didn't you ever find out what really killed Mr. Walker?
Well, now, don't you think it was striking his head against the bottom of the boat, Judy?
Yes, I suppose so, but... Well, it does seem awfully strange, the belief that the sword must never be disturbed and his getting killed that way right after he was so sure he'd found it. And Lady Morgan, Morgana Le Fay.
Besides, it was mighty queer that her boat should have been in just what position it was at just that time. Makes a fellow wonder. But didn't you or Mr. Arbuthnot ever make a second attempt to find out if there was anything down there, Doctor?
No, Dick, we didn't. If King Arthur's sword really was thrown into that lake, then chances are that it must still be there, guarded over, as the legends tell us, by the Lady of the Lake.
And the curtain descends on another Dr. Christian Prize play with our star, Gene Herschel, waiting to greet you. Men, dry scalp is a common nuisance. You may have it and not realize it. If you've noticed just one of these signs of dry scalp, stiff, wild-looking hair, loose dandruff, tight, itchy scalp, reach for Vaseline Hair Tonic. Vaseline Hair Tonic combats dry scalp, checks it easily, quickly, effectively. Vaseline Hair Tonic actually supplements the natural scalp oils, contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. Just 5 drops a day, 5 drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic applied with a comb or directly on the hair, checks dry scalp, keeps hair perfectly groomed. Also, a brisk Vaseline Hair Tonic massage before each shampoo loosens dandruff, relieves itchy tightness. Don't forget, more bottles of Vaseline Hair Tonic are sold today than of any hair tonic in America. Buy, try Vaseline Hair Tonic. If your druggist is temporarily out of the 40-cent size, remember the big 70-cent size gives you 3 times as much, actually saves you money. Vaseline Hair Tonic is one of the many Vaseline brand products made by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline. And now here is Gene Herschel.
Thank you very much. And let me say first that we expect to be in New York for the next few weeks while the judging of the scripts submitted for the Dr. Christian Award for 1945 is being completed and the winner selected. The story you heard tonight was one of the 1944 winners. It is the work of Amelia Reynolds Long, mystery writer and author of a baker's dozen of hair-raising mystery thrillers. Next week, we plan to present a prize play called The Hero by Francesca Falk Miller of Chicago, Illinois. We invite you all to join us again next Wednesday evening, same time and same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
Do you work in a plant where dust, dirt, or chemical fumes irritate the nasal passages? If you do, here's a suggestion. Every morning, place a little Vaseline petroleum jelly in the nostrils. It forms a light film over the sensitive tissues of the nose, protects them from irritation. See what a difference this can make. Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.